I could have sworn that
Didn't we get an office?
Yeah, I don't know what universe is this one.
It seems like we're back where we started.
Yeah. Well, so, hi.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. Anyway. What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Not So Serious Channel. I'm your host, OJ Feliciano, with me as always.
Forgot my name?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm Luis.
Forgot the intro.
Oh.
I did the wrong intro. I did the channel. So it was a podcast.
Well, it's a podcast.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to Not So Serious Podcast. I'm your host, OJ Feliciano. With me as always is Luis Jimenez. Got it back, boy. It has been a hot minute since we have recorded one of these, and as you can see, we are stuck in our past lives. We're no longer in the studio. We are back at my apartment for a very important reason.
It's hot.
Hot, bro. The sun is a deadly laser right now, okay? We have no ozone layer. That's what it feels like.
It really does feel like it. There's
my AC is on right now, and it's still hot in this room. I'm wearing shorts. I don't like shorts.
Oh.
That's how hot it is.
So when you do things you don't like.
Yeah. That's when you know we're struggling.
It's been a while. And I think we can address it, you know, quickly.
So, yeah. Work.
Yeah. New work, you know.
Also work. His is taking way too much time out of his life, and mine is just draining me. I am very exhausted. I work out and about in the streets, and the sun is killing me. Slowly.
But not quickly.
Sadly.
Get going on, Jim.
Yeah, so with that, we've missed about a month and a half, I'm going to say 2 months worth of content that we have not discussed in this channel. So we're going to try and bombard you with all of that. Hopefully, it happens quickly.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It is a lot.
Brace yourselves.
Exactly. You have a list, which I read and immediately forgot.
So, all right. First on the list, considering our last time together, it was Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
So we were watching Peak TV.
Peak TV, that's very true. It's very true.
And we ended off on a bit of a, what's going to happen to this world of Ted Lasso? And we got our answer. I find it heartwarming.
I did too, right? I enjoyed it.
Mm.
But like, so everything that happened, right, since we last talked about it, is exactly what we said was going to happen, right? So, you know, Ned became a good guy. They won the games they needed to win, but then it wasn't really a loss. It was a good ending in that way.
Mm.
But, bro, so I really enjoyed it, but I also didn't enjoy it to the fullest, right? It just felt like they wanted to end it. They needed to end it here, not that they wanted to.
Mm.
And it really shined through. Like, they really, like, sped Ned's thing up. Like, as soon as he decided, I'm going to quit West Ham and go to Richmond, it's like, okay, he's back. Done. There wasn't a conversation. Like, there is, but it's so, let's just say this so it's not awkward and get on with it.
Okay.
There's literally two instances where we talk about him returning, and it's the group making fun of him for not being there, so they make him pay like £3,000. And then him apologizing to Ted, and Ted like accepting his apology, and them crying out, which admittedly did get me emotional. I did fucking cry in that scene. Mm. I'm not gonna lie. But I felt like, man, they really just pushed through here, huh? And the other thing was, like, this didn't feel like an episode. It just felt like a really long epilogue. Like, they ended things in such a... So, hey. Beard stayed, got married. Man. The team didn't win, but guess what? Here's the new manager, and then here is Rebecca doing this because she found the man who we saw in that one episode. I'm happy about
the
that.
King. The king returned.
Exactly. So it's like, so that happened. And now they're all hanging out at Higgins' place as well. So we see this super cool, like, little montage. And there was a lot of other characters that they covered, and I just totally forgot.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I mean, the love triangle of, like, Roy, Jamie, and...
I'm going to be honest. How did that end up? Keely. I think I missed it in my fucking slideshow, dude. It did not give it to me.
Bueno, so Keely didn't choose both, and then at the end, but they're just there, like it's all good.
So we don't know.
They're at Higgins' place.
Yeah,
that's it.
Exactly.
No inclination of anything. It's just they got along, I guess. And that's fine.
They're a throuple. I'm just gonna say it there. Fuck it. Why not? Next topic. Of course. The fucking Ted goes back to America and he's coaching. Not coaching. He's at his son's game.
He's doing soccer somehow,
and then he looks at the camera and smiles, as in like saying goodbye to us. That was touching. There were other things. Like, I'm talking like that, like ending part of it. I was like, okay, bro, why you rush all these things? Like, I didn't need an episode for each one, obviously.
Yeah, because it's an hour 26.
I know, but it's still like, it didn't feel like enough. And it's not that I wanted like more out of this. I just wanted a better ending. Better than what we got. Because I'm not saying it was a bad ending. It was a really good ending. Like, I love how they started the episode with a little like, so, you know that thing you all wanted? It didn't happen because they're friends. Ted waking up in her place. That was hilarious.
That was very hilarious.
The thing is, I was watching and I'm like, ain't no fucking way.
Yeah.
I was like, ain't no... And then fucking Beard comes along. I'm like...
Then Jane is coming along.
I'm like, what?
What is going on?
I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, I knew it. Okay, good. Because I was like, I'm not... If this happened, it would have been both funny. Like, if it was just Ted, I would have been annoyed. If it was all of them, I was like, that's pretty fucking dope. Just because that would have been funny. But then... They tell us that, oh, okay, they're just staying over. They just stayed the night because of a gas leak. I'm like, that's pretty cool.
But even on these on this show as a whole, I think we can both agree about how the writing was handled. To me, right? And I know that you filed your grievances on some of the topics, and I don't really find it. I don't find it bad because you're right. Like, I feel like since we left, like, we ended at a pivotal point in the show where I thought, how are they going to cover this? And I think around three or four episodes around that time, and I was like, wow, this is
Each episode, like, they're not covering a lot of things that they should be covering, because like Rebecca and Ted, like, their goodbye was very good. It was that was handled properly. I loved how she tries to convince him to stay.
There's even like a love Twitter sometimes. There's even like a discourse that someone said, like, Rebecca said this amount of words, Ted said three words in that interaction alone. Because the focal point wasn't on him.
No,
it's on Rebecca, going to plead him.
Yeah.
While also knowing the decision.
That was beautifully made. That's how you make those sort of interactions. It was beautiful.
Because he doesn't have to say anything.
No, he doesn't.
He already said what needed to be said. Yes, anything else, it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm still going back to the original thought. You're not really doing anything different.
Like, I appreciate what you're doing, but I already made up my mind.
Exacto.
I love the whole team's goodbye. That was good.
I mean, even in the title, yeah, it's so long, right? Farewell. There. It's like, come on. I even sang it when I found that. I was like, are they gonna do?
It was really beautiful. But I don't know. It's like, it's an ending, and I can appreciate this because it's an ending where you know that this story continues. Just
it can.
In our head canon, it will never, I don't think they will ever show us anything else, but it's an ending where it's like, you know what's happening. It's like, oh, Roy is now coaching. Richmond's doing good. They might not win, everything, but they're now they're at a place where they can actually, you know, be recognized.
Oh, we signed you on the national team.
Exactly. Love that was it. Good. You see, that's what I mean. It's like a bunch of things.
That's true.
Like that's true. The doctor is now part of the Richmond thing. I'm like, okay. After you not show her for like four or five episodes, you show her watching the game at the end, and then her becoming the official like psychologist for the team. Which, mind you, cool, but it's like, bro, what is this, Avengers?
Yeah, you're like, you're trying
just throwing all these Easter eggs back
at me. You're trying to fill in a gap where you know you don't have a lot of time to go and touch ground. Like, exactly. Okay, like, these events are happening, not simultaneously, of course. Exactly. It's happening over the course of a few months and all that shenanigans. So, there's a bit of, like, a finality where they knew there was, like, I can't
extend this. Yeah.
Como que, okay, pues nada, me tiro esta.
Exactly. Which, again, it's not bad. I just, I was like, I expected a little bit more from that. But that's the point. I don't want to keep repeating myself. I just want to ask you one question. Would you have had Ted stay or leave? We already know what happened, but what would you have preferred?
I would have wanted him to leave.
Okay.
Everything in this season alone, and even on the episode where his son is like staying for a while, that episode made me realize he needs to go home, but there's a task at hand, which is I need to finish. I need this team to win.
I need.
So he's gonna finish what he started, but he needed to. And even when the mom episode happened, where
that was really
I was just
mom city
charged because I knew that his demeanor changes rapidly when the mom's there, and it's jarring because you don't get to see that Ted being annoyed by his mom. You would think.
Yeah, you would think he would otherwise. Love. Exactly.
Like, and even every interaction with, like, with Rebecca, with the team, with, like, the three amigos at the pub. But for him, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, she's here, right? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. He doesn't want her to be there because, again, he has a lot of pent-up shit. And then he actually releases it, and it was really good. I really enjoyed that episode also. I feel like Mom City was like my favorite episode of the season, mainly because of Jamie and Stock talking with Mom.
That one
got me, especially with what he said, because that's exactly how I felt a couple of Saturdays ago. And how he said it, como que, I feel like I have a deficit, but in my soul. And I was like, oh, fuck, waterworks, bro. I was like, damn, that's exactly how I felt the other day. So yeah, this show is extremely relatable, and it's just gorgeous. Interesting. I would have had Ted stay.
Why?
It works what they did.
Okay.
But to me,
there's two paths that they.
No, there's definitely two paths, and both paths would have been fine. The thing is, I understand the story they told, right? There's a man who ran away from his problems, got better, and went back to his old life, but as a changed man. From personal experience, I'm someone who went from some really rough patches, some toxic relationships, made a new life for myself, rediscovered who I was, and stopped acting according to how people wanted me to, and started living my new life. So, like, again, personally, I would have liked for him to stay because this new Ted was founded and was, you know, shaped by his new environment.
Yeah.
And I felt like going back to the old environment wasn't going to, like, help him much. I know the kid is in the States, but, like, he really could have just brought him over.
Even Rebecca, like, even said it.
Yeah, like, you can even bring, like, the mom can bring teach her, dude. I'll be like, I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty sure teaching in schools are a lot better in the UK than they are in fucking in America. But
she's going on a better situation than what she's going through in America. Saying that.
Exactly.
But I
personally would have stayed. But again, that's just like a personal thing because that's kind of like what I went through. I didn't become someone new. I just became a better version of myself by forcing myself to do
like, again, to get out of my comfort
zone. Change. You got to change.
Exactly. I did that, and the new life that I found for myself was good, so I stayed in that path. I didn't, like, oh, I'm better now. Let me go back to what I had as who I am.
No, interesting that you mentioned that this Ted's decision to go to London really is him running away from
the problem. Yeah, he's running away from his problem.
And then the entirety of the show is him accepting all that is going on.
Yeah.
While also bringing change to not just himself, but to this new team, a very diverse group of people, mind you, that also have their own different personalities. Again, this show really has a lot of depth, and I think
I've been rewatching. I'm not gonna lie.
Really?
Yeah, I'm rewatching. I'm already in season two. Nice. There's actually a couple of things I've picked up on. I'm like, interesting. So it was really funny, especially with Colin. You know, Colin. That was another thing from the finale that made me cry. Man. Papi, in Pride Month, they Papa. Did that, and hell I yeah. was like, fuck yeah.
I mean, a little bit of like day before, but yes.
Yeah, yes. But yes.
Starting Pride Month.
Fuck, I mean, I did see it. I did see it very late.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you saw it. I saw like 2 weeks after it came out, it aired, or like 1 week. I don't remember. So yeah, to me, it was on the Pride. So, dude, it was so good. Like having Colin, like, have his boyfriend come running in and just fuck it. Like, I just liked how he saw another player do it, and he just like fuck. He's very excitedly looking for his boyfriend. He comes up and he kisses him. I was like. Acceptance. It was beautiful. So like in the second season, they, you know, when banter gets introduced, and he goes like, oh, it's like Grindr.
Yeah,
there it is. It's right there. That was another thing. I don't remember
what also it was. Like, it's almost like a who told you?
Exactly. It's like,
who gave you that piece, like, of information?
As you're watching, you're clueless. You just go like, huh. That's funny.
He made a comment. Right? Yeah, like, of course. Banter, Grindr. We thought it was like fitting, because obviously, like, oh, like the name itself is almost like a similar to like another app. Yeah. But it's like, No. Colin just doesn't say it. Exactly. He knows it.
He knows it. He just doesn't say it. So that was it. There was another one. I totally forgot what it was, which one it was. But I really have enjoyed. Oh, yeah, that was the one. Ted, like his panic and anxiety attacks were starting since like day one, from like first season, like first season.
Because
the first panic attack we see is in first season in the karaoke bar thing. But prior to that, he was already having them. He started showing the signs of them, like strangling with his fingers. I was like,
I think even the ringing kind of starts in like.
No, they don't do ringing. That's the thing. That's where they get you. They don't do ringing. They just do him fidget. They just show him fidgeting with his hands, and I was like. As I'm rewatching, I'm like, oh, there it is. Very clever. It's a great show. It's definitely a show I could see myself rewatching whenever I need a little pick me up emotionally, because
you can just hear Ted and you can just like, you know what, Ted? God damn it, you're right.
Also, Ted needs so much therapy, which I'm glad he went through. Oh, Roy going to fucking therapy.
Roy going to therapy, dude, man.
That conversation in the Diamond Dogs, it's like,
Bobby,
bro, that shit got me as well. So good. It was definitely a good ending. Anyways, Ted Lasso,
a product of good writing, of
excellent
writing. Of Apple TV really giving it a chance.
Dude, Apple TV has some of the best shows I have seen. I definitely recommend Severance. They only have one season. It's a bit of a slow burn, but it's a great like mind brain game.
Okay.
Twist your shit.
Mm.
It's good. It's a good show. C is another good one with Jason Momoa. I haven't finished the third season because I got lazy. Great fucking show. Just saying, Apple TV, you know exactly what you're doing and where you're putting your money, because goddamn, these shows are.
They really are handpicking good. Actually good stories. That I don't think a lot of platforms are really just doing that.
I feel like. To me, I think they're taking not only good stories, because I've seen good stories in other platforms, especially HBO Max.
Of course.
Netflix has had its share of good shows, but I think it's all about the budgeting. Apple and HBO Max, I feel like, have way more budget than Netflix, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the case. Because for a show like Ted Lasso, a lot of that is...
So it has to be on location.
It is on location.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, that bunch of that has got to be on location. Like, you can have, like, a lot... Of, what I can see as sets is obviously the... I can see the village being a set. I can see the homes, obviously, the office, everything that's indoors in Richmond.
Yeah.
But
in the locker room.
In the locker room, yeah. But, like, the soccer field things and the stadium parts, I feel like most of that is on location. It's really, really good. Also...
If that's the case, it's fucking impressive to have this amount of people in a stadium.
Yeah.
Packed.
I can see the shots.
Oh, and mind you, some of them are like known teams.
Yeah.
Manchester United is a team.
Yeah.
Manchester City is a team. And that's wild. Even the licensing, because even at points I'm like, wow, that's literally the Premier League like box score. Yeah. And what the fuck? Like, the amount of licensing that Netflix, Apple TV had to buy and like,
bro, it's make Apple. Sure. Do you really, here's the thing: do you really think they have to buy that? It's Apple.
That's true. That's true.
They probably did, but like, I don't think it was that expensive. Again, it's fucking Apple.
Nah, Tim said, put it in the tab. Yeah,
put it in the tab.
Put it in the. I'll say, get the Apple card. Put it on the tab.
Right. It's like, hey, I got this new product called the Vision Pro. I'll send you a box. If you just let me use this.
Exacto.
I got you.
Pero sí, mano. I think I know you're right that there is a lot of budgeting at the aspects to make a good show.
Yeah.
And I think that is where a lot of streaming services are really failing. And it's not by name recognition, because even if we go and see Netflix, they have a lot. And you would think, okay, for a company that has a lot, they must get some revenue back one way or another, because they have a lot. You know, they, like, for example, like Netflix can have like 100 shows, Apple TV can have like 10, and you're thinking, okay, there's 100 shows and people consume it one way or another. They need to make some money, but they really don't.
Yeah.
They burn it more than they use it, and also
I think the other issue as well is policies, right? So with less viewership, less budget for your things, because right now, dude, Netflix, I can't watch Netflix on my TV anymore. I use my dad's account. I can only use it on my computer, iPad, and my phone. I can't use it on my TV because it's not the primary TV. My dad can use it. And I'm assuming it's only in one TV in his house, where he has three TVs that he uses. There's a lot more, but there's only three TVs that he uses faithfully. He's going to have to pick one now. He's fucked, because Netflix will not allow that.
That's wild.
Why?
Out of all the streaming services.
I would expect that from fucking Apple, dude.
Like different accounts, like, oh man, only on your iCloud.
Legit, I'm like, what the fuck?
If you have a family plan and you're not there, I mean, dude, you like, can't use
it. Apple has actually impressed me until recently. I don't think I forgot about the fucking price of that fucking goggle, dude. $3,500, my ass, dude. Anyways, moving on. That really annoyed me. Dude, I saw that shit, I was like, who the fuck do they think they are? But yeah, I would expect that from fucking Apple. For them to be this picky, yeah, that's an Apple thing.
Yeah,
but no, it's fucking in Netflix. But anyways, we are derailing ourselves. We don't have a lot of time.
Don't we all?
Yeah. Speaking of great writing and good budgeting, and especially knowing where to budget things, right? Let's move away from series and back into the big screen.
Yay.
To the big screens of a cinema.
Ah.
And what clearly is cinema. We had the misfortune to not review these two movies when they came out.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
One of them I have seen twice. Oh. The other one I saw this weekend.
Oh, hold up. There's another one.
There is another one that I did see opening fucking night. Opening night. Bro, on fucking... I think it was on a Wednesday, dude. I think I went on a Wednesday. No, it was a Thursday at 9. I saw that bro. You didn't go? And I know I did... Technically, I didn't invite you, but you couldn't go either because you were at work, and it was like a very last-minute invite that I got from a friend. But let's talk about that one first.
Let's go. All
right. Right? That one came out first.
That one came out first.
It did.
A few days before the Elder Cinema.
Exactly.
We're just going cinema upon cinema.
Yeah, it's a... bro.
Qué cojones.
Let's fucking go. Dude, this is the year. This summer, movies are fucking great. I have not had I haven't had one fucking miss this summer.
Mm. Let's keep the streak going.
So, Fast X, you know exactly what we're gonna talk about this shit, bro. I love this fucking franchise. Before you come at me with this bullshit in the comments, I know it's ass. I know it's garbage. I know it's fake. But that's why I love it, because they know it. This is my rant. I will die on this hill. These movies are fantastic.
Hey, you know what else is fake?
What?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Iron Man, Spider-Man.
No. But like, at least they make it look realistic. I'm not going to lie. Fast X had a couple of like dodgy like effects, but
It's okay.
I can overlook them.
Okay.
Because I'm here for Turtle Chaos, and guess what? You haven't seen it, but I'm gonna give you this little tidbit.
It's all good.
This is the one with less brain fart shit.
Really?
It only has two big impactful parts, beginning and end. And those are the ones where you're like, que carajo, que carajo. The rest, it's like, this is pretty tame. This is 6 to 7 level of extreme. Yeah. The big event at the beginning and the big event at the end, which isn't really the end. I'm gonna spoil it to you. I don't fucking care. Bro, it's not a little. It's not the. No, it just isn't. You see a big fucking explosion. Toretto covering his kid and the movie ends.
What?
You're like, the fuck is. Bro, you're missing like half of the fucking conclusion.
Oh my god. You know what? They really did finish the movie. They just said, we're gonna cut it here. Right there.
They're like, done. That's what they just did, bro. Ah, it's so good. So yeah, so only like the beginning, like extreme part and the ending part are like, bro, these are off like 8 and 9 type of like, what the fucks. The in between was more like a 6 to 7, right? No. Yeah, 6 to 7, I would say. Like, on level of, like, ¿qué carajo está pasando, right? Because it's like, yeah, I've seen this before.
Yeah, they're just going back to the class. Yeah,
like, I will say this. The winner for me, and I just remember that I want to rewatch it just because of that.
Tyrese.
Jason, no, fuck that. Jason Momoa.
Oh.
My man, 8. He took this role, skyrocketed. I have never seen a better fucking bad guy with such flair. My man. And look, I saw Chris Tuckman's review. Was it? I think it was his. I don't remember who it was. And he was saying like, oh yeah, it was his.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically said like, oh, I understand like the villain might not fit for everyone because it's too bonkers, right?
Mm. Okay.
And I get it, but I've enjoyed him so much. Bro, my man ate this role. Like, he is the best bisexual villain I have ever seen in my entire fucking life. Might be fully gay, don't know. He ate this, bro. It's just, I was impressed. That was the takeaway for me. I was like, the story, not mind you, decent story, by the way. Oh,
some writing?
Some writing. We're sticking with the theme.
They said words?
They said words.
Oh, wow.
And again, they gave all the best shit to Jason Momoa. My man, if he improvised half of that shit, I'm like, don't give him a script ever again. Just give him what the character is and let him shine. Bro, his outfits were on point. His attitude was on point. He had flair.
I did see a little bit of it, of his character. Dude, I'm like, all right.
It was fascinating. Like, honestly, I would rewatch just because of him. It's that good. His obsession, he is insane.
But let me ask you this. Does he play a role in the Fast and Furious cinematic universe? Like, in terms of, like, plot. Like, why is he there? Oh,
bro, that's the thing. That's they cooked in the writing, bro. They brought him back. Bro, they brought him all the way back from fucking Fast 5.
No jola.
Bro, full on back. And, you're like, why did it take so long?
Uh-huh.
Bro, he has been cooking. Literally, my man has been studying every single fucking character of the fucking family, dude.
No.
And he's like that. He's like, how's about your familia, bro? He's like, oh, you know what's that's the thing. He says it. That's the problem with having too much family, man. Who do you choose? When do you choose who you're going to save? And he puts him in that predicament. He's like, who are you going to choose now? A or B? And then when I'm gonna spoil it. I don't fucking care.
It's a spoiler review.
It's a spoiler review. Fuck
Go.
It, bro. And when Toretto chooses, like, haha, joke's on you. Boom. I don't believe in choices. Apparently, my man is like, joke's on you. Everyone's dying.
Okay. Wow.
I love this franchise so much because it's so
this funny. Franchise honestly is just brain dead matter, and it's good brain dead matter.
It's good. My only complaint with it is, however, is that cliffhanger was ass.
Okay. You didn't even just want it to end.
No,
just
wanted... it's like, what is this? Because you had all the characters, mind you, sparsed out, right?
Okay.
This was like a fucking, like, damn, bro, you had all of them, but different.
Oh, they're not
together. Everyone is separated.
Oh, shit.
There's, like, little groups here, and they're, like, bunch these over here, put these over here, right?
There's no familia gathering before the big thing?
Exactly. No, because my man cooked.
Ah, diablo cabrón.
The fucking... man cooked. He separated all them. It was a fucking trap. So here's the thing.
Wow.
They're all separated, but there's not a conclusion for either one, so the cliffhanger is for everything, so you're like, what did I just watch? Uh-huh. So that's where it failed for me, right? That's where it failed. Some characters who just seem to be coming back from the dead at this point. Everyone's alive in this fucking movie, dude.
Everyone's here.
And that mid-credits scene, which I'm pretty sure they shot a week before the movie released. Oh, he's back. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the man, the myth, the legend.
The myth. I don't know why the fuck he's here, but he's here.
I mean, we know why.
Oh, we know. I know why. That check must have been fucking heavy. Someone's got to fund his fucking tequila.
Mana, you know the mana.
Yeah. Bullshit. Such a beautiful fucking story. Let's move on from familia to actual family. To a family who you actually want to die for.
Yeah.
Unlike Toretto's, because anyone who wants to die is just him. Also,
I mean, he is the familia, to be honest. Like, everyone.
I will say this one thing. Vin, why does your kit get blacker? It doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry. I just threw it out there. I know how it sounds. Trust me, dude. This kit has had more changes in tone. I'm gonna get the fucking phone. Give me a second. Because I have a meme about this. Shit. I'm sorry. Oh, fuck. Oh, it's so good.
I'm disappointed in myself that I haven't watched it.
Dude,
yet.
You have to watch this movie. Okay. You have to. It's so good.
I'll feel eternally sad if I don't watch it, like, on a theater screen. Because I don't think it would be better to just watch this on a TV. Oh my god. No. This is a different kid. I would get Fast 8 because, yeah, a baby. No shot, bro. Who is he? Who's he? Who got invited? Oh god. Oh god. No.
Oh my god.
No shot. Oh. That is a completely different actor.
Dude, it is, but also...
Yeah, Vin, why? Yeah.
Why do you...
Did he grow up too fast or something?
Bro, you know, you get that son killing you when you're out there making cars and shit.
Yeah, no, wow.
Fuck, that shit, I needed to get that one out of my system.
Okay.
So, anyways, we're getting out of the whole, like, familia with coronas, and we're getting to the actual family out in space.
Out in space.
Talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. Another peak cinema, another great fucking story. Writers fucking cooked once again on this
Let's
fucking
go.
Piece of fucking shit.
Bobby, James Gunn so once good. Again showing you why he is the perfect role.
Definitely. Wow, where do we begin? We also didn't get to see this one together.
No.
And we did not get to cover it when I wanted to cover it because, again, life.
Life.
But we're here now. This, and I saw it twice. Mind you,
okay.
Second watching, I cried even more. I don't know why. I know why. I'm not going to, like, say why.
Mm.
But even that's how good of a writing it is. Even knowing exactly what's going to happen.
Thanks. This is the second time.
Bald, bro. Mm. I fucking lost my shit. Beautiful fucking story. James Gunn has once again put these characters into the most... why?
Why?
Tears.
It affects everyone, so now
it
weird.
Really
so,
does.
So it's gonna affect you.
Yeah, like I remember on my second watching, I went to see it with my best friend, and the movie starts with Baby Rocket, and he goes, "So do I start crying now?" Or
where's the Kleenex?
And he's like, "So do I start crying now?" And I'm like, "Oh no, yeah, for sure. You might want to get you know.
Yeah, get the,
get the muscles ready. The muscles ready. You're not going to stop.
Say, get the squinking and everything.
We were balling, bro. I was, oh, Jesus. This movie's fucking beautiful.
This movie
is great. This is seriously.
And finally, you know.
Yeah. I've actually been hearing, not complaints. Mm. Well, I have, just not a lot. But the complaints I've heard from this movie have been like, interesting, right? It's like,
Okay.
Okay. So, at this point, everyone's seen it. If you haven't seen it, sorry. This is spoiler talk. I'm not going to go through the whole story and what I liked and anything. I think I'm going to jump specifically to like what people were complaining about and why I think they're wrong.
Okay. As always.
So, I had a friend who told me like he liked the movie. However, he had issues with the... He said the editing and the pacing was like off for him. And I was like, I get it.
Mm.
But I think that was on purpose because I feel like... They wanted you to feel the same anxiety and like all over the place as these characters were feeling. Like Rocket's straight up dying in this movie.
Yeah.
He fucking dies. He just gets back. You know, they bring him back to life. Mm-hmm. But they have what, like 42 hours, 72 hours,
something 40 like that? Something hours.
Yeah, that's
two days.
Bro, that's 2 days. 2 fucking days. A lot is happening in 2 days because they don't want him to die. Right. I love this.
And being in a galaxy, it's not de aquí a...
No, that's the thing.
De aquí a la quinita, ¿me entiendes?
No, and it's far away, but they can get there quickly. So that's why you have all these changes and you have this fast beat. Like, they are rushing. So the beats of the story will be a little rushed. The other thing I said, like, I heard, like, they were trying to cover too many characters. I get it. They were. Mm-hmm. I personally feel like it worked for me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't lost. I didn't feel like they didn't give any character anything. Another complaint was Adam Warlock. I was like, look, man, I don't know. I found him perfect.
Really?
I did.
Oh.
I loved Adam Warlock. He's a dumbass.
He is.
I liked a dumbass. Because someone complained. This was a creator. He was like, oh, the excuse is that they got him out of his cocoon too early. I was like, I mean, that makes... You call it an excuse. I call it a perfect one at that. Because Adam is still, like, powerful. I feel like people...
Adam is a dumbass. I don't understand that point.
He's not... Okay, so...
Oh my God, like,
he's not a... Okay, so yes, but not really.
He's an asshole también.
He's an asshole, but he's very smart, right? But I knew that bringing him this late into the MCU, right? The Infinity Stones are fucking gone, which was the
purpose
of his creation, technically. I might be wrong. Don't fucking scold me in the comments. But I know he's important with the whole Infinity War thing and whatnot. But I knew bringing him this late, I was like, I am not expecting him to be... he's just an obstacle, and not even that. He's like a little speed bump. Jesus. Fuck, Mom.
2 hours later.
So, yeah, as I was saying, I was not expecting... He was going to be like an... I didn't think it was going to be like an obstacle, more like a little speed bump at fucking best.
I'm going like...
I mean, they were going... Yeah. And that's exactly what it technically was. And I enjoyed that. It's like... I didn't expect him to be this. Everyone expected Adam Warlock to be like, oh, that's the next big menace. I did not. You have the fucking evolutionary, bro. He's been like a big baddie for the Avengers in multiple locations, mind you. I was like, you know what? This is.
He said, I like this Earth, but I can make it better.
But I can make it better. No, that's not even his best fucking line, dude. There is no God. That's why I stepped in. I'm telling you, bro, the writer's cooked.
Bro, he's a step God. Oh my God, he's the God that stepped the fuck up. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. It's basically that. So keep gushing over this movie while I send.
All right, so I need to Google his name because it is very hard to pronounce, and I'm not here to butcher a brilliant actor like that. That is a disservice to the man. So the High Evolutionary, which his name is Chiwugi Ewugi.
Man is a fucking goat.
The man is honestly a goat. His resume, watch Peacemaker.
Yep.
If that's legit, what you want,
bro,
thank you. Like,
you
oh
so
man,
much.
Does he do superhero shit? Go watch Peacemaker, and that is his debut, por decirlo así. So he is put up to the test with his buddy James Gunn and I. And at first, when I found out that he was on it, because James said like, "Hey, come with me. Like, let's do this again." Yeah, on the Marvel side, and I got a perfect role. And that's what I love about James in such a brilliant way. He chooses the characters that fit the actor or actress, but there's a purpose why.
Yeah,
because you could have mentioned any other like, oh, like we haven't seen this big baddie, so I'm just gonna, could, you know, can you do that one? No. I was like, no, I picked the right one.
Yeah,
that fits your tone, because again, like,
yeah, I know.
Peacemaker wasn't just an obvious choice for this character, then I don't know what it is. Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, again, that's all in good casting and as a director knowing exactly what you want from your movie. Yeah. And this was really, really good. I personally loved it. I've always liked him as an actor, especially thanks to what he did in Peacemaker. And then right here, I'm like, fuck yeah, dude, he's so good. And with my first watch, I was like, damn. He's fucking good. Well, upon my second watch, I took the opportunity to like praise him. His line delivery is so good. Him freaking out. I love that. People, that was another complaint where it's like people didn't like that as well. And I'm getting this from like reviewers online. They No. Like at the moment that he started like screaming, I was like, oh, you're just another Marvel like villain. I'm like, I don't think you understand like what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, my man isn't monologuing, he's expressing. Like, this is a man who truly hates whatever the fuck he's evolving.
Yeah,
because he can do it better.
Yeah, he hates imperfection, and that's where it
shows. And when he gets mad at Rocket, and again, constantly calling him, like, and I get he doesn't name them, so he calls them by his tag name, and then just, I love the scene in the room. It's like, yeah, but like, how did you know? I made you. How come you knew the what was wrong? It was so good. And then all of this fucking anger to just go, because it worked. And you see Rocket like, this is very confusing. That's, hey, my man clearly has some PTSD. But dude, fuck, so good. I am really, really impressed with what they did in this movie. Rocket's story was beautiful. The ending was beautiful. Like having Drax be this, calling him like, "Oh, you're not a destroyer, you're a father."
That got
Nebula.
Me.
I love Nebula's relationship with Gamora. I love this new Gamora because again, it's very different. I love seeing like Chris Pratt, Star-Lord, like try and woo her again or try to convince her that they worked, and her's like, "No, like, I'm not who you think I am," and that's just constantly there, and I fucking love that. This was Chris Pratt, like, best fucking acting in the MCU because he was given the chance to actually do so, I believe. He's a great actor. I've always loved him. Despite how he is as a human being, he is a phenomenal actor, and I'm so glad that they gave him this chance to, like, shine.
And even this movie, you see him a while, but he's not the main attraction of this movie.
No, that's
so every delivery and every part,
it pulls you more towards the character. It shines. It goes through because of that. And that's also the reason why I've loved the Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy overall, is because there's never like one defining character. Like Star-Lord, in the first movie, we start off with Star-Lord, yeah. But we're always focusing on the other characters. There's always something. The second movie, I feel like, is the one that focuses a lot on all of them, while still being yeah, like, you know, Star-Lord a little bit.
Yeah.
But really, like, that's just, like, to me, that's, like, on the side. Who we really focus on the second movie is obviously Yondu and Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
And then on this third movie, it's just full Rocket and how these characters all react to what's going on. That's always been the formula for these three movies. It's, like, who just so happen to, like, be together and reacting to what's happening around their surroundings.
They are a group of misfits that should not work.
No.
Because all of them are individual personalities and traits, and even you would think Drax would just hate everyone because, you know, he's the destroyer, right? Yeah. So that everyone coexisting to one cause. And I think the family dynamic on this trilogy proves to me that this was a role that James, once again, I don't know if he handpicked it or he just threw the idea at Kevin at the time that he would want to adapt Guardians of the Galaxy. I have to look back on that. But he knew why he picked those characters, you know. Because, yeah. Again, could have picked everyone. It's a lot of characters. But yeah, it's this group of misfits that he said,
tell this story.
He said, I can make this shit work. And even so, I can make them the team, I can make them much more viewable for an audience that doesn't really know
who they are. Yeah. All of his creative differences work for me. Not a single one is missed. We're going to have to go for a brief intermission here. Figure out something to put in between because we're overburning over here. That's how hot it is. Our camera's about to shut down, so we're going to have to give it some time to cool down. But we can get back. We're going to be talking about that beautiful hallway scene, and then we're going to be talking about the third piece of cinema that we've gotten this year, pretty much. So stay tuned, guys. Hope you enjoyed that brief intermission.
Brief to you, not brief to us.
No, but it's fine. We're still here. So, hallway scene.
Hallway scene. Let's cry.
Bro, that was such a good hallway scene. Okay, that's let's cover that hallway scene. People were complaining. This was the tweet I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
Baffled me, dude. Right as soon as I leave the theater. Check Twitter, you know.
Sure.
Usual. Someone puts a clip of... not a clip, a picture of visual effects for Guardians of the Galaxy and for Ant-Man. And he's like, you tell me which one they gave more money to. Bro.
I think I know which thing you saw.
I don't know who said. It was a long time ago.
Is the Ant-Man scene the one in the tub?
No. It was from the Ant-Man 3. From the last Ant-Man.
Oh.
And then for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And they said, guess who Marvel focused on more and who they gave more money to. And I'm like, buddy, that's... Let me cue in here. That's not how it works. When your director knows exactly what he wants and he actually focuses and knows what needs to be used in practically or... visual effects in this scenario, you know, he puts in the work and he actually makes sure that it looks good before it's released, unlike the mediocre directors. Sorry, I don't like saying that word. I don't like dissing other directors because I aspire to become one in the future. So you don't do that. It's a no-no in the industry. But when you have directors who don't give it as much passion as other directors, that's what you get. Sorry, not sorry. So, James Gunn clearly knew. My man broke the record for prosthetics in a Marvel movie.
That's I don't know if that's a really good achievement to have.
It is.
Or disappointing that you need to have a record for prosthetics. You know, como que...
I mean, there's a record for everything.
No, I know, but the point I was trying to make, como que, like, yeah, I feel like most things in a lot of Marvel movies would have been prosthetic. Sucks that I had to like CG the shit out of it, but hey,
yeah.
At least this movie that cannot be beaten in terms of quality.
Yeah, no, because
the allegations of Guardians of the Galaxy being a mid series.
Oh yeah, possible. No, ain't nobody gonna say possible. That. Dude. I'm sorry, and yes, this is definitely the best project that we've gotten since Endgame. I'm sorry, it's the fucking truth.
That's
fight
true.
Me. It really has been. I've enjoyed it. I enjoyed it so much. It's truly the best thing. I can easily rest now. I can be like Thanos. I can rest easy now. I honestly can. It was beautiful. The visual effects and the practical effects were both utilized beautifully. The fucking I had it when I wanted to use it and I forgot. I want to talk about that before we left it off. Mentioned crying.
Yeah.
I don't remember why.
There's a hallway scene, and then we're just trying to go and talk
I
about
it. I just remember what I want to talk about. Okay. So, hallway scene. Fucking fantastic. I haven't had one of these, like, long shot fight scenes that I've actually enjoyed. This one was really fucking good. And it kind of mirrored something from the game where Star-Lord... Have you played the game?
Yeah.
great fucking game.
It is.
Where he puts music and he huddles them up.
See?
He gets them amped to go fight. It kind of reminded me a lot of that. Actually, my girlfriend is the one who pointed out. She loves the game. She got really excited. She's like, I was like, Jesus. He's like, that's from the game. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
They scared the shit out of me, but thanks. Yeah, I wanted to talk about like the deaths, not deaths, in this movie.
Okay.
I'll admit they got me on every single one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't disappointed that they didn't kill anyone. I honestly, did they market it that way? I mean, that's how marketing works.
They got us.
Exactly. I was convinced, though, when Star-Lord was like gone, I was convinced. I was like, damn. That's the one they went for?
Like, mirroring, like, Yondu. It was like, yo, that's...
Bro. And the reason he did it was so... And again, so well. Because you see him, like... Oh, he's good. He figured this one... Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Mm. Groot fucking crying. Because, again, that's his dad, bro. And Gamora is essentially his mom. And I love the scene where he kind of, like, shyly, like, talks to her. And she understands him. And he gets excited. It's these little things that you pick up because you've been with these characters for so long.
I mean, it is a product, once again, of just understanding the characters.
Yeah, it's definitely a passion project.
And you also understand... it's almost like you know the characters like in real life, because I don't think a lot of deviations from any characters are shown. Like, it's not like, whoa, that's a very on Star-Lord thing to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
it's all on brand. No, everything was on brand because, again, they know this. And also another thing why Guardians have been so consistent throughout everything, even in the projects where they're not their titular detail.
Yeah, they're not a titular character. Yeah. They're just there.
Like in the Avengers and whatnot, the reason they fit is because, oh, yeah, James Gunn either wrote or approved most of those scenes. Well, the dialogue. Yeah, because that's how it should be done. And yeah, I love it. I'm so happy that they were able to do this.
I'm really happy that James got this movie down.
Motherfucker tricked me. Camera's busting again. Give me a second.
3 hours later.
Can you move it along? I'm all out of time cards.
We're back. So they try to kill off a lot of characters. I'm going to speed run through this because sadly, my camera wants to die.
Go.
Great fucking movie. 10 out of 10. We'll definitely rewatch 100 fucking times. Can't wait for it to come out in digital. Not digital, my bad. On Disney fucking Plus. Disney Plus, so I can fucking watch it all the time and watch all three because it's beautiful. Ranking 1, 3, and 2. I still love all of them, but that's the ranking.
I agree.
Thank you. Good job. Fantastic. Cinema Part 3.
Oh, God.
Shit. Fucking lighting. You know, you got the gist of it. It's this my boy right here, which you also can't see. There you go.
We're talking about miles and in
Millas Morales.
Millas Morales. Kilómetros.
Cabrón, cállate. Kilómetros y Morales.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Across the Spider-Verse. Holy fuck, what a great fucking movie. That is, again, we don't lose. No. We do not lose. I'm not going to go into spoilers because this is still fresh.
Yeah.
What did I think about it? Fuck yeah. That's it. What else do I have to say? This movie is fucking beautiful. Animation? On point. Storytelling? On point. Little Easter eggs here and there? It's going to have a lot of them. I missed some of them. Really fucking good. Did it bring tears to my eyes?
Yes, it did.
Fuck yeah. Yes, why? Because it keeps... fucking whip with parents, and I hate that. I'm sensitive. I'm a family man. First movie gave me a dad speech. This one gives me a mom speech. I'm like, fuck you, dude. I'm like, in the theater over here, like, fuck, dude. My group's like, hey, man, you good, buddy? It's like, I'm fucking fine, bro. It just reminds me of my mom.
You're out here saying, this is just a kid's movie.
It's a kid's movie, right? Bro.
I'm like crying.
I'm not crying. Fuck you. So fucking good. So well done. Bro, it's all over the internet. You know the line. It's like, everybody tells me how I have to live my life. Nah, man. I'm going to do my own thing. That's what I did, buddy. When I had anxiety attacks way back when. And look at me now. Still anxious, but my way. That's right. I no longer care about people's expectations. This movie is so fucking good. I can't stress this enough. Go watch this movie, please. The Puerto Rican representation. Cabrón.
Está duro.
Los pasteles, las cartas de fucking Pokémon.
Sí,
estaban
¿verdad?
Jugando Pokémon en la fiesta familiar. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Dios mío. De verdad que I just teared up for everything because the representation, the Spanglish they used in this one is so much better than what they used in the first one.
It's justifiable for us because we do that shit every single
time. We do it all
time.
The fucking time, dude. Como que, ah, ¿qué te pasa? What do you mean that you're failing Spanish? It's like, oh, boy, I missed a couple of classes. ¿Qué te pasa? It's like, papi, bendición. Dios te bendiga.
Acho.
Eso es ley. Eso es ley. I literally said that to my grandparents before coming over here. They were at my dad's place after I got home from work. I was like, bendición. Dios te bendiga. Mm-hmm. Que me cuida. Que descanse.
Que descanse.
Papi. Oh, so good. I just can't.
So family, once again.
Yes. Again. It's the year for family. That's the title of this fucking episode. Family. Because even Ted Lasso was about family. Este personaje que está aquí, which you clearly can't see because of the fucking light, it's Miles Morales.
And it's his story.
It's his story. This man, look, I'm gonna... So, two of my favorite Spider-Man, whole time. It's always been, these have always been my two favorite Spider-Man. And they're both in his movie. Spider-Man 2099 and Miles Morales Spider-Man. They are my favorite one. Why? Mainly, I just love their suits.
Yeah.
Secondly, I loved their powers. That was always my thing. I loved how original they were. Because they were just... Cabrón, Miles has fucking... Shocks you, bro. A little like poison sap. It's not really that, but yeah. I like how they did it in here. Like it's an electrical shock thing. Love that. Also, he can go invisible.
That's a Spider-Man.
Exactly. Miguel O'Hara, my guy, wasn't even bitten by a spider. He was running tests, and he's like, this city needs a hero. This is the Batman Beyond version of Spider-Man, and it's fucking great. He's from the future. He goes,
pew. I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
Bruce has broad shoulders. Miguel O'Hara has broad shoulders.
And a tight ass. Moving on. My man injects this shit on him, and then all of a sudden he grows fangs. He grows fucking claws. Oh my god, he has a fucking cape. I don't like the cape they used here because it's very capey. The one in the comics is
no just, capes.
No capes. The one in the comics is better because it has like it's a spider web. It just looks nicer. This one was I was like, eh. Like I liked it, but like eh. His web shooters in this movie are so fucking good. Everything in this movie was fantastic. I really want to go into spoilers, but I'm choosing not to. Because not everyone has seen it. So go ahead, go watch it, and understand why this is single-handedly one of the best pieces of cinema that we've gotten this year. This is definitely going to win the Oscar. I don't need to see anything else. This is winning. I know we have a lot of things coming. I know we have Elemental. Fuck that. We have the other one, which is...
The Kraken one.
Fuck that. They look good. Not like this. I have never... The first one was peak. This one just surpasses it.
Which is... Tough.
Yeah.
It's tough.
By a long shot. It is the best sequel to a sequel, and it's such a good original story as well, aside from it. Mm-hmm. Like, it continues Miles' story, but more so, it gives you story. Just go watch it. I can't wait for Beyond. It'll probably get delayed. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the villain in this story was so good. The visuals, the suits, everything was handled so perfect. Gwen's like universe, the way it was portrayed was, oh my god, with these beautiful like pastel colors and how they use it to show emotion and how it's always changing again depending on the mood and the interactions in each room. So well done. Fucking punk rocks. I keep calling him punk rock. It's Hobby Brown. Hobby Brown. Spider Punk's design was also really, really fucking good. His character is also one of my favorites as well in this movie. Bringing Peter back. I think that was Peter B, right?
Peter B.
Yeah, Peter B. Parker. And having his daughter, Mayday. Yeah. So good. It was, again, it was beautiful. This whole story and this whole movie is just off the top. Yeah. Does it have a lot of fucking references and Easter eggs? It does. But that's not what makes this movie great. That's like a salad. That's like a side salad. And not just any salad, a Caesar salad.
Okay.
The best kind.
Get it right.
The best kind.
Not just lettuce.
No. Caesar salad. The story in this one is also just so good. I sent you a video that talked about how the first one is talking about anxiety and getting out of comfort zones. This one just sort of like continues off of that in a way.
Mm.
Not only for Miles, but also for other characters as well. It is so, so good. There are a lot of things that I wish I could get into right now. I really do wish I could, but we are both running out of time, and I would be entering into spoiler territory that I really don't want to do for you guys. The others, fuck it. They've been out for a while now. Yeah. This one is literally fresh.
If I could say, as a spider resident in this podcast, as a webhead, as we call ourselves.
Those are the ones that, like, if this was a gaming universe, those are the ones that have Cheeto dust on their fingers.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Spider-Man. I'm just messing with you. I just love how you...
All right.
That got me, webheads. Webheads.
So. You know who they are. So, upon watching this movie and upon, like, kind of hyping myself and leading up to it, I was looking back at every Spider-Man iteration that we see. Just the I think the visual adaptations, so obviously, like movies, TV show, movies, TV shows as well. So I was like, how can you surpass the first one? Not just in animation alone, but in story. Because you can just give me different art styles, call it a day, and just say, look how many art styles for each individual. Like, you could just do that and just tell me, like, okay, cool, I get it. But you kind of have to drive a narrative. Mm-hmm. How are you going to drive that narrative towards Miles? And the spot, ironically, so is on the spot of why Miles's story is not yet done.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
that's something we can talk about. Carry on.
So now, going back and forth, I wrestled with the thought that what is a best adaptation of this hero. And this isn't a renaissance, not by a long shot. I still consider Toby's interpretation of Spider-Man to kind of bring it back into the mainstream. That kind of made the character un poco más. He's always been that character. He's always been that guy. I just think también when he got brought to a more wider audience outside of a comic, right? Because again, it's, you can read it, but, you know, like, how do you visualize this character, or how can you interpret this character in a different light? So seeing that character evolve on that trilogy, on Andrew's part, on Tom's part, and then now you're going with this animation side of things, touching upon a multiverse in which we've been very adamant, Marvel-wise, it's been clunky, say the least.
A little bit.
So having this movie in particular touch upon a lot of things touching the multiverse of the MCU brings about a love for this character, and I'm gonna tell you why. How expansive these references are, if not to convey a broader story of how each hero is important to everyone, every race, every ethnicity, every status. You get to see that, and you mentioned Hobby. I'm gonna mention Pavi, and Pavi's interpretation, this version of Spider-Man India, or Indian Spider-Man.
I was gonna say this. His suit in this movie is so much better than the one in the comics.
This is where I'm going with this. So a lot of representation had to have happened inside that writer's room and inside the animator's room and say, we need to convey a better representation of this character. We can't just put a fucking sigil, put some Indian shit, and just call it a day, because that's not him. So this version, which we have never seen, and I hope to God that this is this one moving forward, if they will, if they are going to kind of jumpstart that series. And I think they will, because there's a run for the Spider-Verse in the comics. So seeing him being interpreted a more authentic way warms my heart. Because for you, which is Miles, you get to see yourself. And I don't think a lot of people value that outside of just, oh, well, you know, Miles is just a kid trying to be a Spider-Man. That's the bare bones explanation of this fucking series. Spider-Man in its entirety is about grief. Yeah. And they touch it so beautifully. And they touch it not to tell you, oh, you're just doomed from the beginning. It's, and interestingly, it's how the character is born. It's not the bite. You can assume the bite has made the hero. It's the grief that make the hero. Why Ben? Sad. If we're going to like maims Peter Parker, Ben could have lived, but what purpose will he serve? Oh, he'll beat a Rhino and an Electro and just be like, okay, but I get to see Ben. I get to see May. Mm-hmm. I don't feel any threat. That needed to happen. That needed to happen through and through. The touching up of the multiverse part, it's interesting, but that gives Miguel a reason to be a perfectionist within his character. And a lot of people on the internet, I'm aware of his choice of words that during the end where he's just berating Miles to
love
a pulp.
That scene. Love, I don't give a look. we're not gonna go into detail here, yeah. But that is one of that scene. Oh, that was like fucking. Tell me more, dude. That was so good, mind you. Very important, like plot point what? Right yes, there. Yes. Especially what he's talking about. It's very important in the plot. We're not gonna get into it. Beautifully executed. But what I wanted to tell you is, because sure. It kind of does match with what you're trying to say here as well. It's just hard to like not get into the story. Too much. This what I like about this movie particularly. It's not only because yes, it has been known Spider-Man, the whole reason Spider-Man is so important to everyone is because he can be everyone, and the multiverse was a chance to show that, right? Because Stanley's words at first were like, yeah, the reason he has a mask, the reason he's so young is because anyone can be Spider-Man, and the reason he doesn't break that, like that's his one true thing, is that he never really exposes himself is because of, like, so anyone can be Spider-Man, and this proves it.
Except in Civil War.
Shut up. Yeah, but that's... I know.
Just wanted to bring it up.
That was
one
time, and you know what? That was shocking, okay? That shit blew... And that was a good moment. I'm just saying, that was a good moment for him to do it. It was like, oh, shit, he did that.
Yeah.
But no. So, the other thing that I feel like suffers a lot is that with... more representation that you're giving this character, the more backlash you get for said character, yeah. Which is what this movie in particular, this whole theme of this movie is that if there's anyone who's ever told you that, oh, that Spider-Man, that's Miles Morales, let's just cut it to the chase, Miles Morales isn't Spider-Man, that's Miles Morales. Peter Parker is Spider-Man. You can just show him this movie and tell him, shut the fuck up. Look, whether you like it or not, Miles is Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. We call him Miles Morales Spider-Man because we're discussing multiple of them. Yeah. But you can easily, and I've done it, and they do it in the comics. I've done it in the comics, so I've read it. I've sometimes talked about it. Hey, look, it's fucking Spider-Man, bro. Who's that? Oh, that's Spider-Man.
And who's the one in the back? Oh, that's Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Oh, Spider-Man. Shit. What's that? Fuck. Give me a second.
Back what's right that? On. Spider-Man and women.
Who's that?
People.
That's also Spider-Man. Like, what's the issue, right? They're both Spider-Man. It doesn't fucking matter. We have the opportunity to actually... Because you're not going to say Miguel O'Hara is Spider-Man. At least he has a number. Spider-Man 2099. You know who we're talking about. Mm. You know? Spider-Punk. You know who we're talking about. Mm. Spider-Woman. It's pretty fucking obvious. It's a gender reveal. Spider-Gwen.
Spider-Gwen.
It's, again, these people have something in their name to define them. The issue with a lot of people around there, it's, oh, Miles Morales, he doesn't have that. That's the Black Spider-Man. No. That's not fair, right? You don't call Peter Parker the White Spider-Man, right? You don't call Spider-Man India the Brown Spider-Man. Just why do we have to call this one the Black Spider-Man? Mm-hmm. No, he's Spider-Man. Whether you like it or not. And the reason he is Spider-Man is because in the universe in which he is created, there is no other Spider-Man. It's just him. Because the Spider-Man that used to be Spider-Man died. What more do you need, sir? That's why. Oh, yeah, and the other universe is for Spider-Gwen and all these people. No, there isn't Spider-Man either, but yeah, no, they're also called Spider-Man in those universes. It's just that their comic books have a different name. This one, it's just Miles Morales Spider-Man, which is just Spider-Man. Deal with it. This movie deals with it in a very beautiful way, and I love that because I've always hated that discourse. It's a discourse that's never made any fucking sense.
It's a discourse that shouldn't have happened in the first place.
Yeah.
The way that we're trying to like comprehend it even now in 2023, are we really going back and
go back to that same discourse? And it's a heavy discourse, man. You go to Twitter, it's still going on almost every fucking day. You have the items. It's so unnecessary. It's like, what's the issue, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll try to bring other like things to like defend their point, but it's just no. It just probably not break. I would almost say you're hating on this character because of the fact that he's Black. Mind you, Black and Latino. He's both, which is very important, especially for us Latino. Like the fact that's another reason. It's interesting. Two of my favorite Spider-Men are Latino. They've always been ever since I was like younger. I've always loved them. They got the best suits. Fuck you. Yes. It makes sense. Latinos know how to fucking dress. We know how to dress ourselves. And they have the best fucking powers. Mind you, suck it up. Fuck you. I don't care. Oh, yeah, he's also African-American. Yeah. That's cool part. Obviously, I'm not going to fucking shit on you. But guess what? He's from fucking New York, dude.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. I expected nothing less. Okay? But, yeah, it's representation, dude. Suck it up. Like, you have a... You're so pissy about this one. It's not even in the main content. Like, it is in the main continuity, but it's not even, like, in the main universe, right? This isn't the Spider-Man in 616.
Although he does go to 616 and becomes a Spider-Man there. I mean,
yeah, I know, but... Okay. You know, you don't piss them off, man. Don't give them knowledge. We know he does that, but fuck it. The point is, he has his own universe, okay? You don't like him, pick another one from another universe and just stay there.
There's so many of them.
Literally.
Pick and choose.
There's a cowboy one. There's a cat.
There's a dinosaur.
You don't have a problem with that, do you? You don't have a problem with that, do you? I'm assuming you don't. Is the cat too orange, maybe? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just stop being a little fucking crybaby. Go watch this movie. Enjoy it. It is beautiful. There's a lot of great representation of everything. Wow. There are some instances here where they're talking about maybe Spider-Gwen might be trans. I've seen that discourse on the internet as well. I'll be honest. I didn't see the references. I saw them outside. I want to rewatch to see it. I did have a friend who saw it. He texted me. He's like, did you see it? I'm like, oh, shit, no, bro. I just found out because of the internet.
Yeah.
Beautiful, dude. All the power to you. Whether it's true or not, it doesn't affect me. However, if people can identify with that, who the fuck am I to ruin that for them, right? It really does not matter. Again.
Gwen's arc in and of itself is so important to like the entirety of the narrative of this I'm assuming trilogy.
Yeah.
Right?
Be quiet. Don't tell them too much.
Okay.
Can't know this.
All right.
Well, we're sticking to tidbits that they've seen on Twitter.
Sure. So,
Gwen might be trans. If you don't like that, suck it up.
Sure.
Whether she is or not, like, in my interpretation, she's not. She just supports trans people. But hey, if she is, that's fucking fantastic. And if you as a trans person saw this storyline and you identified with said character, congratulations, that is what Spider-Man is all about.
Yeah.
Don't let anyone tell you that you're wrong, because, hey, if that's the story, it's there for a reason, and if it did that to you, I'm glad. If you were able to finally feel identified with a character which you love, that's what Spider-Man is all about. That's what Miles did to me, did for me. That's what Spider-Man 2099 did for me. Even before that, just Peter Parker overall did that for me. It was just beautiful to see them with my own skin color and hair as well.
Yeah, fair. True.
You know, so.
There's something to be said, at least in my eyes, as to why I love this character. And Spider-Man 2 did it for me, the Tobey Maguire one. And for the longest time, almost 20 years to the day, I held that standard. I was like, you know, a lot of mediums have come and gone from the character, but this movie in and of itself is what I see represented as Spider-Man.
I'm gonna hit you with a quick one. I know, sorry to break you off here.
Okay.
It's just, you're planning a video essay on this. Kind of
want to.
I want you to save that.
Yeah,
for that.
Sure.
I want you to save that for that. But I just to end this real quick, because again, we're also running. We are desperately running out of time. I'm gonna just hit you with this one. Spider-Man 2 or Across the Spider-Verse?
That's what I was going for, sir.
I know, but so, you're monologuing a little bit. I was trying to speed you up.
I am saying what my plan is
so that you know exactly what I'm going to do after my plan.
Yeah, so I guess La Rueda Bichuela, because Across the Spider-Verse is the definitive Spider-Man movie.
Let's fucking go!
And that is so tough to say. Not tough, honestly. It was just jarring, yes, because volvemos, like, Into the Spider-Verse, yes, came close, and I was like, wow, this
came
movie
close,
yes, let me explain. Damn, like, this came close. I'm like, all right, this can be 1A 1B, this can be 1A 1B,
sure.
Across took it across the line.
Oh god, you and wanted to throw that line.
Yes,
there,
I wanted
you?
To
damn,
but Simon, again, this can be I'm in the moment or whatever, but no, man,
no moments.
I'll watch it again. Probably next week. I'll watch it again somewhere, wherever they're gonna put it, on Netflix or wherever.
Bro, we're releasing a ranking with this fucking with this review. We're releasing a ranking right now.
not here, just a post.
Yeah, you'll see.
But yeah, like, I can see that you are agreeing, I guess, this Across is the definitive.
Oh no, definitely. It's
okay,
Across,
okay.
Into the Spider-Verse, and then
Spider-Man 2.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, hands, wait,
all right.
Yeah,
but yeah.
No, that's it.
That's it.
Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. This is a really long one. We're sorry. It's been 2 months. We haven't really talked to each other either. So yeah, this is like, reunion.
Exactly. Family.
Familia. This episode has been family. Yeah. And we hope that you feel like you're part of our family. And the way to show it is by clicking that like button and letting us know how much you love us. And if you want to become part of the family, you just subscribe. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see you in the next one. Hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah,
have
please.
Have a good day.